You're listening to the Love Yegg Show. If our city could talk, these are the stories it would tell about the people, places, and passion in Edmonton. We interview difference makers in our community. Please welcome your hosts, Sherry Beauchamp and Jesse McCracken.
Hello, Love Yegg. We have a very special guest with us today here. I'm here with my co-host, Jesse McCracken.
Hello.
And we are recording live at the food bank, Edmonton's Food Bank, here with Marjorie Benz.
Good afternoon. I'm so glad you're here at Edmonton's Food Bank.
We actually discovered this place. You've always hear about the Edmonton Food Bank and such on the radio or on the news, or you guys are always out in the community doing stuff. We've had the pleasure of actually being here a couple times with our group to actually get to appreciate the machine that is the Edmonton Food Bank, and it's very impressive.
It's very impressive. Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and how it all got started? We hear you are the founder.
No, I don't take credit for that. I've been with the organization for a long time. I've been executive director for 30 years. But the organization was formed in 1981 as the Edmonton Gleaners Association. To glean means to gather by patient harvest. So the original mandate of this organization was to glean food from the grocery stores, warehouses, and food suppliers and turn it over to soup kitchens and shelters, primarily in the inner city at the time. And so it grew from providing that service to soup kitchens and shelters. That's a service we still provide. And we certainly have changed and developed new programs over time and expanded our operations substantially to what you see today.
No, like I said, it's very impressive. And so what would you say is the biggest need that the food bank needs the community to participate in?
Most people, when they come to the food bank, feel that or think that we're government funded or that we're extension of some other government body, that type of thing. And they're often surprised that we must raise the food and funds in order for us to do the work. And of course, as you talked earlier about the volunteer commitment is really important to do the work we do. We rely heavily on volunteers. Last year in 2019, over 100,000 volunteer hours were contributed to our work to get the job done. So we rely on food, funds, and friends to get our work done.
Nice. Three Fs.
Totally. I'm super curious about you, like your experience personally, you know, committing to something for 30 years, that's a big deal.
I think I've been truly spoiled and fortunate because I've been surrounded with some really special and great people. So I've always been fortunate to have a really good board providing leadership to the organization. I have fabulous staff and wonderful, wonderful volunteers. And then people that come and want to support us, like by donating or doing a special event, that type of thing. So I feel kind of like I've been spoiled over this whole time.
Interesting.
You know, so sometimes I don't really feel like it's been 30 years.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. One of my daughters said, 30 years. Oh, it feels like longer, is what she said. And the other daughter said, well, I can't really remember life without the food bank, because she was only, she hadn't started school when I started working at the food bank. So different experiences, but truly I've been fortunate to be supported in the way I have been.
And what has been the changes that you've seen in the food bank? You said that it changed from just supporting soup kitchens and shelters, and now you are feeding how many families in Edmonton?
Well, certainly after the organization got its legs under it, doing the gleaning operations, churches and other organizations came forward and said, we need boxes of food for people to take home with them and prepare in their own homes. And so certainly that's where we saw the growth in the hamper programs. Again, that was just before I started with the organization. So the hamper programs, as you're well aware, because you're in the warehouse packing those precious hampers, are distributed to over 50 depots in Edmonton. So again, over time, you can see how the need has changed in our community and how the food bank has responded to those needs. And of course, we not only still continue to provide food to soup kitchens and shelters, which is really important work and is often not seen. We provide hampers to about 20 to 25,000 people each month. That worked out to over 62,000 different people received a hamper last year from us. And we also have other programming that we do in collaboration with other groups, the Beyond Food Program, where we help people with resume writing and job searches and safety tickets. And that program exists because we're fortunate, again, to have other partners and other groups that will come and help us provide that great programming to people in need.
Yeah, I think once you walk through the doors of the warehouse, you hear all about, and you think food hampers, but to actually see it in action is a pretty incredible sight.
So what surprised you most when you came through the door?
Well, there was actually a couple of things that stuck out for me when we came here. One time I brought my son to volunteer with us, and he just said, I really love this place because I feel like I'm doing something. So that was pretty amazing for him to be able to do something that was...
It's powerful for him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I love that piece. I love that you guys, some of your volunteers that come in are regulars. I met a fellow, I can't think of his name off the top of my mind, but he gave me the tour, and he had been here for like years and years. And I was just like, how incredible is that to get like sacrifice your personal time to something that means so much to the community?
And I think, again, we're fortunate because that we do have people like Richard and Dawn.
It was Richard. It was Richard. Yeah, okay, it was Richard. Right. Yeah.
I don't think they think of it as sacrificing their personal
time.
No.
Yeah, that was maybe the wrong choice of words, but
no, and I think that would be the right choice of words from this, looking at it from the surface, because you think, holy crow, this gentleman's put in how many years and how many hours a week? That's just beyond description. But I think over time, like your son, he sees it as a powerful way of creating change in our community. And he also sees it not as, it's become an important part of his life. He's, you know, it's sort of like visiting with family. It's sort of like, you know, going to a block party with your neighbors. It's become part of his community, his circle of friends and that type of thing.
That's
and,
right.
And again, we are really fortunate and appreciate his, you know, people who have made that long time commitment to us. But we also appreciate, you know, new people coming through our doors and wanting to make change. And it's so wonderful that you brought your son with you, because I think the work of the food bank is really concrete. And I think people sometimes have more trouble understanding what volunteering would look like in other organizations. But the work of the food bank is so concrete, and children understand what it means to be hungry, because if they miss a meal or their meal's late, they
totally
understand it, right?
Yep.
So for your son, it's a powerful way of demonstrating that caring back in the community, and he can be really engaged in it. And it's beautiful, because I think that people who are exposed to that activity early on in their lives are often more engaged as they move forward. Again, for your son, it will become part of the way he wants to live his life. Mm-hmm. He wants to live his life as part of doing things, making change, and being part of a team. There's so many lessons that he can learn from being part of that. Yeah.
The other piece that I remember from the food bank is, you know, you're literally choosing food off the shelf to put in a hamper box for a family. It will tell you, like, one adult, three kids, or, you know, that kind of personalized it
dietary,
a little bit for me.
Restrictions, yeah. Too. Yeah. And
yeah.
So I remember putting, like, a lot of care in those, too, and making sure I put a variety in. And actually, one of the things that surprised me the most is how easy it was for you guys to make it for us to volunteer. Like, everything was so organized that it was, like, it was really easy to do our job, which is amazing, you know? We left and we're like, okay, we need more. And there was like no more boxes to do.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and you're just so motivated, and by like making sure you're putting a nice variety in there for people.
Well, certainly it's true. We have to try to stay on top on how we coordinate and organize things because we have a big job to do. And mm-hmm. lots of hampers to pack, you know, lots of food to sort. Like, for example, from our Christmas and Fester campaign, people were very generous and we had about almost 400,000 kilograms of food that was being sorted and is still being sorted in our wow. warehouse. And it is really important when you have somebody coming in for, you know, a 3-hour shift that they don't have to spend hours trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. When they come, they want to be, people want to be trained. They want to know what they need to do and they want to roll up their sleeves and get the job done.
Totally.
Yeah. And they don't want to be waiting for things to happen.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. What would you say to someone who's listening right now and they're like, I would love to bring a group of friends or some people from my company and we would really like to look at what that looks like volunteering at the food bank?
So we always recommend people to visit our website because our website actually has really great information. It has little videos about, you know, people who've helped us out and little stories and video and other forms on the website. So that's always a really great place to start. And if people follow the Better Impact link on our website, that takes us to where people can register as a volunteer, find out when there's volunteer opportunities and that type of thing. If they have trouble navigating the website, they can always call Virginia or Cindy and they'll help people walk through that website. And again, I'm so fortunate to have, you know, people like Virginia or Cindy helping our volunteers get engaged with the organization. Once people register either as an individual or a family or corporate, then they will be linked back into the organization and find out when times are available. And of course, different people have different needs when they want to volunteer. So it could be somebody going to be retiring and they think to themselves, well, I have a little bit of time. I'd like to do something and be part mm-hmm. out in the community and do something really special. And so they might be able to come in every Wednesday morning or something like that. Whereas sometimes groups may be only able to come once or twice a year. And that's, again, that's all appreciated. And if, again, if people have trouble with the website, to contact Virginia and she'll walk them through the and get them into the process and get them through an orientation and help them get settled at, in and at the food bank.
I was actually just telling Carly, that ever since I volunteered at the food bank, now every time I go grocery shopping, I just buy, like, those bags are right at the end of the till. So I've just made it habit that I always buy one or two. And we were with another friend of ours earlier, and she mm-hmm. said that she was with me once when I was shopping, and she said now every time she does that as well. So it's amazing how just that one volunteer shift has now created, like, you know, and it's just little, and it's just that's an easy way for me to give back. But what are other ways that people can give back? Because I understand that those, you know, outside of just those basics, there's a lot of other things that you guys need. So how can people donate their money, or is buying the goods preferable?
So we appreciate you making those contributions. Every time you feed your family, you're feeding another family. We again, the website has information, but there's lots of different ways that people can participate and support our work. They can follow the donate mm-hmm. now link, and that shows them again where they can make a monetary donation. Mm-hmm. We use the Canada's Helps format. People can mail in a check if that's more mm-hmm. convenient for them. We also have on our website, you probably make your contribution right at the grocery store, right when you go to leave, you put your mm-hmm. bag of food in the bin, and that's
just because it's easy, right? Good, it's right good, there.
Go yeah. for easy. Yeah. Yes, there's nothing wrong with easy. That's wonderful. And so you go and do that. Is that's one way of doing it. We also accept a non-perishable food donations at any fire hall in the city of Edmonton. And of course, we're always looking for new sources of some of the glean food out there. So Carly and Tamison and that team will go and speak to potential warehouses or groups that might have surplus or extra food that they can donate to us. So gleaning is a big part of it as well.
Yeah, I didn't know some of that.
So the other thing that I'd seen on the news was they were saying that for some of us maybe will not eat expired canned goods. One of my best friends, they owned a grocery store growing up, and she's like, I grew up on expired food. So, like, you know, anytime something, so she's, you know, one of those people that's like, you can eat expired food. So at what point, if somebody's not going to eat it in their own household, is there a date past a canned good that you guys will still take?
Yes, and I don't have the information in front of me, and our sorters are pros at this, our volunteer sorters. But I believe it's up to 3 years, and it is a not expiry date. It's just a best before date.
Right, right.
And so certain items do have a shorter life.
Yeah.
But it's true. They're often food.
Or dented cans, right?
Yeah, we might make an assumption when we see something. And even with our gleaning, when we get fruit and vegetables that come in, if you were shopping, you might not want to take and buy an apple that has a big bruise on it. But if it was in your fridge, you would eat it, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that's really a little bit of personal taste, but also just recognizing that sometimes things are still good, mm-hmm. and we just need to have another look at it. And I think there's, again, more of an interest in people making sure they don't throw out food that mm-hmm. could be their family could use or that wouldn't end up in landfill. I think people are more sensitive mm-hmm. to that for environmental reasons, mm-hmm. and just there's a lot broader awareness out there about, you know, using the food waste.
Yeah.
The best way we can as a society and as a community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was actually my New Year's resolution this year, was to waste less. Like, because every time you throw out something, like food in the garbage, I just like, so that was like, I'm going to buy less so I don't waste it. So that was kind of the one thing I'm like, that's what I'm going to be better at this year.
Yeah. And so it's, again, just making conscious decisions, mm-hmm. right, about mm-hmm. how things can be used.
Mm-hmm. Interested in hearing a little bit more about Marjorie specifically. How did you get into this line of work? Were you always in this line of work?
No. I actually have always been a volunteer. I started volunteering when I was 14 years old in a mm-hmm. hospital setting. So actually had more of a varied past than other people sometimes recognize. So I, like you, I sold real estate. I was and I worked for the Royal Bank for 3 years, and I did some contract work for government. So I had a little bit of that kind of background going on. And again, active volunteer with, you know, Canadian Mental Health or my community, coaching soccer, you know, all the things that people do to make their communities a better place, right? Mm-hmm. And in 1987, I saw an ad for volunteers at the food bank, and I started volunteering at the food bank. And then I think in my mind, you know, I did want to be and do something in the sector. I wanted to work for an agency or an organization. In my mind, I always wanted to be a volunteer coordinator. But I never ended up going down that path, because the world doesn't always work quite the same as you have in your mind, which is probably a good thing in itself. And so I was started as a volunteer in 87, and then in December of 1987, the food bank had a temporary position working with clients directly, and I had no social work background or experience that way, but I always enjoyed working with people coming and needing food bank services, because I always found them to have unique and special stories, and it was nice to be able to talk one-on-one with people that needed the food bank. So I had that position for 6 months, and then I was hired as a coordinator at the organization, working with all the different distribution points throughout the city. Pardon me. And then a year later, the executive director left, and I was acting in that position. At that time, we didn't have a lot of money as an organization. We were paying rent $10 a month, and that included our property taxes and utilities. We had a space. Wow. Yeah, wow. Canada Safeway was very good to us for 3 years. We rented that space. But when during that year, 1989, they sold their building that we were in, and we had to find a new space, and we didn't have a lot of money, and that's when I became executive director. So it was a very interesting time in the development of the organization. And I don't know, every day is very special here and every day is very unique. And sometimes it can be very sad and overwhelming because you hear some of the situations where people are most challenged in our community and have multiple barriers and things happening that makes their lives really complex. And at the end of the day, we're just giving them a food hamper. At the same time, we're able to give them that food hamper, and that's really important.
Mm-hmm. In 30 years, have you ever seen the process come full circle where you've had, you know, someone on the receiving end of a hamper and maybe them or their kids or somebody comes back through and volunteers or...
Yes, I think actually that's a valid point because I think this last Christmas I heard more stories of people that had used the food bank in the past and now were fortunate enough to be able to give back. And so mm-hmm. it was nice that they felt comfortable enough to share that they had been recipients.
Impacted
of,
that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yes. And it was really a challenging Christmas and festive campaign. So it was... You know, the economy's not that great out there in Edmonton, and there's many people who are looking for work or unemployed. And so it was mm-hmm. an interesting trend that I just happened to be running into these people that cared and had experienced the food bank from the front end and were trying to figure out a way how they could help us through that time as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think on our tour, Richard had mentioned that the Edmonton Food Bank actually became a template for across the country as far as how you guys operate and your systems in place. And can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
So we were the first food bank in Edmonton, in Canada, in Edmonton. We actually initially had brought somebody up from the States to learn more about the work of the food bank. And there's always been some charitable food distribution for thousands of years in communities. People... primarily through churches, have tried to help their neighbors in need. Mm-hmm. And certainly the food bank is a little bit more of a formal basis because we are that central warehouse that collects and redistributes on behalf of 250 agencies, churches, schools, and food programs. And so it's a different kind of formalized attempt to provide services in the community and reduce hunger.
Mm-hmm. So what about, like, our podcast focuses mostly on, you know, Edmontonians and people giving back and that kind of thing, spotlighting that. Obviously, you are a great example of that. What do you think about our city? How would you describe our city to an outsider, someone who's never been here before? Or what do you like about Edmonton? What's made it you let it call you home?
So I was born and raised in Edmonton, so... And my dad grew up in Edmonton, so I feel like I have, like, our family has a long history of being part of this community.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's been said often we're a little big city. So mm-hmm. we're big in that there's a lot of things, great things to do in Edmonton. I mean, we have great arts and sports and beautiful River Valley and lots of recreational activities and... kids can grow up, experience a wide range of opportunities. So it is a beautiful city that way. You know, we've got beautiful U of A, we've got Nate, we've got Grant McCune. Again, lots of opportunities for families and people to grow. And at the same time, we are a little city is in that no matter whoever you meet, and as soon as you start talking to them, and they'll, you know, you'll find out all of a sudden you're related to them, or
2 degrees of separation.
Yeah, yeah. They're, you know, their sister's married to your next door neighbor, or something always pops out. So it, you know, there is that kind of close. You feel close in Edmonton to other people. You feel close to your neighbor and colleagues and things like that, which I think doesn't always happen in other communities mm-hmm. or other centers in Canada. So, or I'm just going to boast and say Edmonton's great, right?
Yeah. Well, we actually say that often too. It's like, it really does feel like a small town, you know, even though it is a city, the community surrounded by it is like, there is so many communities, which really makes it into like a, yeah, like a small town feel where people are very friendly, you know, which is something that I've always loved about it. I've lived some other places, and Edmonton is like always been home for that reason specifically.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've always felt part of Edmonton when you've been here. Yes,
yeah,
that's great.
Definitely.
What are some things that you would like to see innovated in Edmonton? You know, what can we be striving for or looking for in the future? What would you say?
Yeah, I don't think anything I'm going to say is going to be new or profound in any way in that regard. I think that there's always opportunities for communities to learn and do things differently. And I think that whether we start, you know, occasionally putting and pushing the envelope by putting a vegetable garden in our front yard to, you know, picking local Saskatoons and harvesting those Saskatoons are right from the river valley and enjoying them versus buying something commercially, or, you know, so there's different ways that we can look at food and, you know, where our food comes from. I mean, there's no doubt, especially today, you know, it's hard to imagine even putting a seed in the ground when you look around and it's so cold. But there's, you know, again, different opportunities that maybe we need to not fight with our environment so much and see if we can, you know, use the beautiful soil and earth and our limited growing season to our advantage.
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. Well, what would you say to... you know, after 30 years, you probably came across many, many, many people here in the food bank, whether it be clients or volunteers or employees, people that work here. What would you say to them about their involvement in your career and what you guys have accomplished?
First off, you can never say thank you enough. I mean, again, people have been always very gracious with their time and resources and support to the food bank. And again, each and every day we appreciate what comes through our front door to help us do the work we do. And we really couldn't do it without the help of the broader community. And so I think that it's really important that we keep engaging youth. We keep young people love to help. We just sometimes don't know how to ask. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, a great opportunity for families to grow and develop and become part of Edmonton's food bank. So I think every time you turn around, there's different opportunities to do things differently.
Very good. One of the things that we always talk about is, you know, this is kind of a spinoff of Legacy Egg that we've been doing in the community. Our goal is to raise $1 million locally for charities in Edmonton and also give back with tens of thousands of hours, which is, we tend to spend a lot of those here. So a spinoff of that is how do you want to be remembered? You know, when all is said and done, what do you want people to think of when they think of Marjorie Benz?
Oh, that's, you know, that's always an interesting question, because all we can ever leave is an impression or an energy with other people to do the right thing. And that's all you can ever really leave. I think sometimes maybe have a street named after you or a building or anything like that. But I think it's really is about how you've, you know, changed somebody's life, how you've made them want to do things different and be something different. So I guess that would be the legacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy your t-shirts.
Thank you.
But it's interesting because when I saw where it said meet, vote, donate, repeat, I interpreted it different than what it's supposed to mean. Because I thought, oh, that's really cool. So go out and meet different people, engage with other people. That's really wonderful. And vote, I thought, oh, they're going to be promoting people voting and being part of democracy and that type of thing. And I thought, that's really cool. And maybe that's not exactly what you meant, but I think we always need to practice our democracy and appreciate that we mm-hmm. are in a democracy and then donate. Well, that's wonderful. Donate time, food, money, anything else, any of your other special skills. And then, of course, repeat, because you can't make a difference unless you keep doing it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I don't think that's exactly what your t-shirt meant.
It's actually pretty close. Yeah. It actually is. Yeah.
The vote is maybe like a little bit more off, and that's just more our quarterly meetings. But you're absolutely right. People do need to be involved because obviously the political situation is often what brings us to needing some of the services that the city offers. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And we don't dare sit back and complain if we're not participating. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We vote on charities. So that's how we, at our quarterly meetings, we have three charities present. And that's the intention of this vote. But, I mean, yours is just as important.
And it's really hard to vote on the charities. Yeah. I was saying sometimes my partner isn't able to make it. So I have his vote and my vote. And I, like, split them often because I'm like, I can't decide on just one because they're all so great, you know. And I know that's probably not what I'm supposed to do. But I'm like, ooh, I'm going to choose two.
Well, it's probably safer to vote on charities than it is in politics, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's a fair statement.
Well, and then it's just really, it's about the awareness that we get from the other charities that come. And like I said, we really want to get into them because then we can share our experiences with people. And then, of course, that just kind of creates the ripple effect. And I think that's like part of the brokerage and Legacy Egg. Like, we'll continue to spend our time here because it is such an impressive, like I said, machine. And how many people you guys are feeding is just, it's amazing. And like we said before, that everybody's probably just one paycheck away from needing the food bank. And so I think that any opportunity that people have to mm-hmm. give, whether it's time or money, it's just, this is a great place to put that time or money. Yeah.
I really think if you haven't been to the food bank before, it's well worth, you know, a tour or come and spend mm-hmm. a couple, 3 hours here on a shift. I think it'll change your perspective mm-hmm. very quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there anything else you want to leave people with about the food bank or the work you guys do or you personally?
No, again, thank you for coming today and this cold day and talking about the work of the food bank. And I really applaud your mission and wish you every success as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you were inspired by our show, please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen and share with friends. You can always find show notes at loveyegshow.ca. Keep listening.